Happy New Year. Blessed 2016. This wonderful year of... How are y'all doing? Take some time just to greet the ones around you, beside you. You might have done it just now, but do it one more time. Okay? I mean, this is a brand new year. Hey, new friends, new family members, God's church is a prosperous, blessed, wonderful place to be. Amen? And I don't mean the building, I mean the people of God when we come together. The most powerful, successful, glorious, and eternal organization. Heaven and earth will pass away. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, the Bible tells us. All organizations will all pass away. The only one that remains, the only one that's eternal, is the body of the living Christ, the church, which is not a building. As I repeat, it's not a building. Thank God for buildings. We thank God for this beautiful building and all the buildings that our people are meeting in this morning, today, all over the world. We thank God for buildings, but the church of Jesus Christ, long after the building is crumbling in the dust, the church goes marching on. Amen. The church is a many-membered, redeemed saints of the Most High God. You know, I once went into a cave. It's not exactly a cave, like a natural cave. It was built of limestone, but there was a huge cave outside. It was the place where King Solomon got his stones from, his limestone, to build the walls of his temple. And when I went into the cave, we took some pictures and all that. And I was pleasantly intrigued by something on the wall, because you can see the wall of that cave has right angle cuts on it, which means stones were cut out of it. And I noticed also there were some stones left in the cave. So there was a time before electricity was used that cave probably only held some torch. Well, in the dark, just imagine, those rocks would have remained there in darkness. The Bible says that you are called to be living stones, called out of darkness into His marvelous light. To be a living stone, not a dead stone, but a living stone that make up the church, this most powerful, successful, eternal organization that will outlast heaven and earth. Amen. You are called out of darkness, just like that stone. You are called out of darkness. You could have been remaining eternally in darkness, but God in His mercy called you. Look around you. All these are living stones. Amen. And then I saw some stones that were abandoned. They were cut halfway. They were abandoned. Then I think to myself, these are those who almost became believers. Almost. Almost. The Lord started dealing with them. They were about to be redeemed, but they said, no, I prefer the darkness. I have grown accustomed to the darkness. God's Spirit entreats them. There is a bright world out there. There's freedom. There's liberty. He says, no, this is my freedom. This is what I want to do. And God will never violate a man's free choice. So they were left there. And I saw those stones cut halfway, but left in its place. And it's still there after 2,000 years. That happened in my last tour, by the way, to Israel when I was the keynote speaker for TBN's TV show, as well as also for the tour that we did all over Israel, preaching on different sites. Now, Pastor Prince, aren't you afraid the world's condition right now? Hey, the world will be the world will be the world. Let me tell you something, all right? The world is getting worse, but it seems like the blessings of God in our lives are getting greater. Amen? Amen? And today's message is going to help you start the year right. And a lot of people, when they hear about the... I never planned. I was telling someone just last night. I never planned that the Vision Sunday will be the Sunday that we have the largest number of people. If you ask me, I would expect Christmas to be the one. But for some reason, people want to come for Vision Sunday. And I hope people not from other churches want to come. You know, you ought to be hearing what your pastor is saying for your church, your congregation. But it is a very personal thing. It's not meant for the entire world, you know, but it's meant for those who have come under my teaching and come under the ministry that God has given me. God always has a word for the year. He always has a word for the year. Amen. So I'm here to tell you that God is dealing with our church and people all over the world, that literally millions of people that follow my ministry, they are also attuned to what God is saying to them for them this year. Amen. And for those that come under different, under shepherds and all that, they got to hear, because they are feeding off that food. They got to hear what God is saying through their under shepherd. Amen. But I'm telling you, church, that I never planned that this will be the best attended service. And for some reason, people are so excited. You know, the moment we show our vision, and before you know it, before the evening is over, it's all over the internet. And they try to improve on our artist rendition even. They have their own version, you know. And I find that very intriguing, because it was never started to be something like that. All right, it just happened to turn out to be that way. Okay? So let's look into the Word of God first. Let's not be in a hurry for the thing. And please don't come thinking that, like many times it happened in the past, God would tell me things about the economy of the world. And a lot of people, you know, they're excited about that. They have seen the track record we talked about some time ago, and before in the 2000s, when before Singapore went into the Asian crisis, many of you were there. You heard me say that we are entering that time. And the next year it happened. And then the prediction by the experts, all right, by all the pundits, was that it will last for 4 years. I forgot what it was. And the Lord spoke to me and said it would be cut in half. And true enough, it was so. So all that is very exciting, and it's exciting for me also, you know, because I do not know what God wants to say or will be saying. But we're not here for this. We're not here for this. So if you know something bad is happening, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? If you still have that same complaining spirit, if you still have that worried heart, you still have that critical attitude, what are you going to do about it? What's more important is to have the equipment, the wisdom, the armory, the weapons to deal with that problem. So there are some things that God will not tell you and God will not tell me, because we can't handle it. Amen. We'll be worried January, February, March, April before it happens. And some things He will show us, and some things the world is already picking up on, that the whole creation, I said that last week, last year, I mentioned about weather going berserk. That's the word I use. Amen. And I said that, it's going to get worse and worse. And now the El Nino that they talk about phenomenon is going to be the worst on record this year. Bring a lot of flooding, a lot of mudslides, and hopefully, lives will be preserved. But the thing is this, I want you to know that with much flooding comes spiritually, there's going to be God working behind the scenes. Some things I cannot share in a forum, a public forum like this, that God has shown me, okay, because it involves the extremists that's out there and all that. But God is doing something behind the scene. But the devil wants you to see that which is visible, that which is prominent, that which is obvious, that which is everyone is talking about. But God wants you to see what He wants you to know, that He's doing, that He has done, and that He's still doing for His people. All right, and how that will determine how much you enjoy 2016, the blessings of God in your life, okay? So let's go right now to Numbers 13. Numbers 13. I'm talking about Kadesh Barnea, the place where Israel walked with God. We all talk about the 40 years wandering of Israel. We talk about how God brought them out from Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. God brought them out. You know, it took 10 plagues to get Israel out of Egypt. And the last one, it's almost like the last cut that was dealt, was something the devil cannot resist. He cannot handle. Amen. It was the blood of the Lamb. So all the plagues, all the judgments, all the punishment cannot do what the blood can do. And I'm here to tell pastors, leaders and all that, to threaten people with punishment, judgment and all that kind of thing will only strengthen their rebellion. But to tell them about the love of God and how that love was demonstrated at the cross is the final cut that opens the prison doors. Amen. So Israel, after the 10th plague, they came out, the blood of the Lamb, God preserved them. They came out and they went through the Red Sea. God was with them, the pillar of cloud by day, in a pillar of fire by night. None of them ever lacked. Their feet never swelled. Amen. The Bible tells us that they were not smitten by the sun by day. None of them had heat stroke. Amen. When you go to the Middle East, you start wondering, no wonder they complain. That's one of the things people say, no wonder they complain. But no, no, no. They had air conditioning all the way. The pillar of cloud blocked the harmful, fierce rays of the sun, of the Middle Eastern sun. And at night, when it really gets cold in the desert, he was a pillar of fire. They had heater. Amen. So they were kept cool. They are cool people. Amen. Pillar of fire by night, pillar of cloud by day. God provided for them breakfast every morning. Amen. With no preservatives. Manna from heaven. Amen. Sleeping outside with your mouth open, you wake up full. Amen. The manna came quietly. Manna came quietly. Came a little form, a baby. Amen. The world was sleeping. It was a silent night. The world didn't know that the Redeemer was born. The Savior has come. But he came so small, the gift of God, that they had to say in Hebrew, Manhu, which means what is it, and became manna. Amen. So he is the heavenly manna. And if you feed on heavenly manna and not feed on the garlics, this is the food mentioned in the Bible of Egypt, the place of bondage. And Egypt, Mitzrayim in Hebrew, literally means double stress. You see the im there is plural. Mitzrayim, from two sides. It's like pressing on you. Mitzrayim, Egypt literally means in Hebrew, double straits, double tightness, double pressure. Okay, a place of stress. The Lord wants to bring you out of that place this year. He wants to bring you out into a big place. And we always think that when we follow God, we are living the things of the world, all right? We are living some great things, some great stuff, some good stuff, man. And God will give me smaller, lesser, you know. No, friend, what you are living is nothing compared to what God has for you. What God has for you will last for eternity. What God has for you, you know, everything about you that enjoys life, God made it. God made you. God made your tongue with all the different taste buds. Like I told you last week, God could have just made bitter. None of you would know. You wouldn't complain because you'd be eating bitter. You wouldn't want to know what's salty, what's umami. Amen. So, God brought them out of the place of double stress. And the food of Egypt is called melons, leeks, garlics, onions. All of this are food from the ground. It's back-breaking work to get food from Egypt. Melons, leeks, garlics, onions, and they are food that tell people when you have eaten it, you cannot escape. People know you have eaten it. Pastor Prince, right now I'm sitting by one. Man, I'm telling you, I'm binding it in Jesus' name as much as I can. So when you eat the food of the world, you don't have to tell anybody you're feeding on it. Whereas the food of Canaan land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land that God promised his people, the Bible says the heavens rain on that land. Whereas in Egypt, they don't have rain. They don't have much rain. They do have rain, but not as much as Canaan. And they had to get water from the Nile. They depend on the Nile for survival. And they water their plants with their food. Literally hard work, you know. Whereas here in Canaan, God waters the land and causes them to be fertile, to cover the verdant mountains and hills of Canaan. And their food is figs on the tree, pomegranates, grapes on the vine. Amen. All this, olives, they are easy picking. Your height, usually you can just reach out and take them. So the blessings of God are easy and bright for his people. Amen. Even for this year, 2016. But if you follow the things of the world, if you lower yourself morally and you don't trust that God has your best interests in his heart, that love has not said what he said, you doubt him, that love has not given what love said he would give, and you trust the devil, you trust the ways of the devil. Let me tell you this, all right? You will be backbreaking. You'll be in a place of double straits, spiritually speaking, and 2016 won't be easy. Okay? Preach it, Pastor Prince. Hallelujah. Preach it, preach it. All right. Now, that is the background. Are you all with me so far? Then we talk about they came out of Egypt and then they went into a 40 years wandering. I think we always have to qualify what we are saying. But many a times we say that Israel came out and they went to a 40 years wandering. Actually, they didn't wander yet. They were walking for 2 years. And this is something the Lord said to tell you all this. This year, 2016, are you going to continue wandering or will you start walking? Walking is deliberate. Walking, by the way, is not working. Walking is easy. Working can be laborious. But walking, I just did it. Actually, I moonwalk now. Walking, you just walk. Put one foot in front of another. The moment we are grown somewhat, a few years, we start walking, right? I mean, the moment we are born, almost a few months after that, we start attempting to crawl and walk. And walking is very natural. Amen. I'm so glad it doesn't say work with God. It says walk with God. Are you listening? So actually, Israel, they walk with God under God's directive. When they came out of the Red Sea on the other side, God opened up the sea. Amen. God made a way where there was no way. On the other side of Egypt, now they were clean past Egypt. Amen. And God showed them all the enemies dead, all right, at the beach in Egypt. By the way, forget Hollywood, what they show you. Okay? Forget about the Moses that is a warrior, you know, that kind of thing. All right? There's no glory to God there. When men try to get the glory, God doesn't get the glory. All right? The show is all about a man who was a stammerer. Like I was when I was a young man, secondary school, I was a stammerer. And God picked me to preach His word. For some reason, people want to hear. All right? A former stammerer. So it's a true story. It's a stammerer, not Christian Bale or someone else, okay? Okay, aren't you glad? Grace is attracted to your weakness. It is not attracted to your strength. It's okay to feel that you are weak. In fact, the stronger you feel your weakness, the greater grace is on you. It's hard for us to believe that. We always want to show our strength, but God wants you to acknowledge your areas of weakness because my strength is made perfect, complete, manifest in weakness. Can I have a good amen? So, for the 40 years, we still use the word, don't misunderstand, all right? 40 years wandering, we still use that word. It is used in the Bible, but actually, it was not 40 years wandering. The first 2 years when they came out, all right, the first 2 years was walking with God. They walk. They wandered for 38 years. Look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 2. At the time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea. Now, that's where everything changed in Kadesh Barnea. Everything changed in Kadesh Barnea. 2016 is about Kadesh Barnea all over again for God's people until we cross over the valley of the Zered. The time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea to the valley of Zered at the end of the journey was 38 years until all the generation of the men of war was consumed from the midst of the camp. Now, go with me to the New Testament at the Pool of Bethesda where the Lord Jesus looked at a man who was there for 38 years. He had a disease for 38 years. So what do you see here? You see Israel impotent, cannot walk. Amen. He cannot walk. He cannot fend for himself. He cannot provide for his family. He cannot walk. Amen. Then Jesus came and Jesus knew that he was there for 38 years. There's nothing insignificant in the Bible. The Bible is telling you that the man is a picture of Israel. Just like Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine, and he did it by filling 6 water pots with water. But if you read carefully, it says the 6 water pots are for the purifying of the Jews. So what religion cannot provide, Jesus supplied. Amen. Intoxicating, blessed wine. Hallelujah. Wine represents joy. Amen. So the first miracle of law was to turn water into blood, resulting in death. The first miracle of Jesus, grace, was to turn water into wine, resulting in life. The law demands righteousness from bankrupt men. Grace provides righteousness to bankrupt men. Amen. Law will by no means clear the guilty. grace will by no means remember their sins. We got a good thing going because Jesus came. Can I have a good amen? So here we are, all right, 38 years. And at the end of that journey, Moses was about to depart from the scene. And he told the people, we've walked, or rather wandered, 38 years. Now we come to the Kadesh Barnea, from Kadesh Barnea. What happened at Kadesh Barnea that caused them to wander? They were supposed to enter the land, probably in 40 days. They're supposed to enter the land in a short time. What happened at Kadesh Barnea? So, 2 years they were walking with God, 38 years they were wandering. Are you walking or are you wandering? Let this be a year that you walk with God. In the coming weeks, we're going to teach you how to walk with God. And make sure you walk with God in this dispensation. Walking with God is even more tight, more close than all of them ever did, than Abraham, than all the rest ever did. The Bible says, Enoch walked with God. Say with. Enoch walked with God. And Enoch was raptured. Amen. Before the flood came, Noah's flood. Enoch walked with God. In fact, back in the Garden of Eden, God came walking in the cool of the day, in the spirit of the evening, in the Hebrew. All right? God came walking. Now Enoch walked with God. Enoch disappeared. And then after the flood, we have a man called Abraham. And God said to Abraham, before his son came in the very same year, and this was the thing that got it to accomplish, God said to him, Abraham, I am, now in the Hebrew, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. Now, how do you walk before God? In the Hebrew, walk in front of my face. Now, if you are behind God, it's the place of disfavor. It's the place of the curse. It's the place of darkness. If you walk in front of God, the Lord makes His face shine on you. You walk in the light of His favor. That's why Moses told God, can I see you? God says, you cannot see my face and live because Christ has not yet come. Amen. Under law, you cannot see God's face. We now behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. So Moses always, the closest he saw God was God's back parts. Amen. Like someone living. Amen. But when Jesus came and the woman, the issue of blood came behind him and touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. Jesus stopped, turned around, make her look in his eyes, telling her, don't run away with your healing. I want you to have it. Enter into peace. Be at peace about this. And you will continue to remain well. All this in the original Greek. You will continue to remain well. We behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Can I have a good amen? Amen. All right. So let's go on to this. What happened at Kadesh Barnea? What happened at Kadesh Barnea? And we're going to learn in the Sundays to come, we're going to learn how to walk with God. Because in the New Testament, it is not walk with God. It is not walk before His face. Amen. Although it will include all that. Our word is walk in the Spirit. And it's a such closeness that God dwells in us, people. And our spirit and God's spirit are so close that we sometimes know things before anyone else does. We know what's the right thing to do without going to college, without going to university. And the wisdom that God gives us in that one split second is greater than all the experts in the world. It will cover what to eat. It will cover what not to do, what to do. It will cover parenting. It will cover your financial life. It will cover everything. Walking in the Spirit is what we desire to do in 2016. Amen. And have a good amen. So God told Israel, look, I've given you the land. Time and time again, God says, I give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. In Deuteronomy 8, God describes to them the land. Amen. This is the description. God, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines, fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. All this easy picking. It's not back-breaking work to pick this food of Zion, this food of Canaan. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And for all those people who are so afraid of the word prosperity, all right, you got to check these verses out and talk to God about it. I pray that you pray and talk to God, all right, and advise Him if you can. It's not my place, okay? God should say, I bring you to a place where you won't have enough. And you will just learn some lessons by that. And you'll go to a place where the bees cannot even produce enough honey. There's a lesson down there. There's a lesson. We do not know, but there's a lesson, all right? And you'll come to a place where there's no copper, but you will learn to be creative because you got no copper, no iron, okay? That is not what I read, okay? I don't believe in selfish prosperity, but the Bible does teach that our God is an abundant God in goodness and truth. And He loves to give. He loves to give. Let's look at another description of that God told them about the land in chapter 6. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land. You see, God wants to bring them. God said about the land in such a way that I'm giving you this land. He's describing because he's telling them, he's giving them the land. He didn't tell them, all right, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. These are the 10 commandments for taking the land. No, he just said, I'm giving you the land. He wants to be trusted. And here it says, the land that I give, all right, this land is to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Houses full of all good things, full of all good things which you did not fill. Hewn out wells which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. He goes on to tell them, when you have eaten and you are full. So there's also eating and then full. Singaporeans, the distance between eating and full is a long line, I'm telling you. Like the MRT line, and it breaks down also halfway sometimes. You know, we are never full. But God promised you will eat and you'll be full. In fact, if we learn to eat and then when we are full, we push aside the food, you'll do better. And look better for 2016. All right? God designed for you to eat and feel full. But our brain is now short circuit. We do not know what's full. Anyway, scientists tell you that your brain takes a long time to tell you you're full. So eat slowly until your brain gets the message. Eating slowly will help you feel full. Okay? That is just extra. Nothing to do with 2016. Okay? Just let you know. It's a year where people go to the gym, sign up for the gym, wait for a while. If you want a good gym place and all that, you want to make use, it's so crowded in the first week, just wait for a few weeks. Wait for a few weeks. All right? And there'll be plenty of space for you. Probably in March. Meanwhile, do push-ups at home. And all those gym owners here, sorry. Okay. I just think that's wisdom, okay? Praise God. Okay, that's not the point. Okay, look here. So God promised what? They will live in cities they did not build and live in houses full of good things, which they didn't fill, drink from waters of hewn out wells that they didn't dig, eat from vineyards, there'll be grapes, amen, and olive trees that they did not plant. So what is this a picture of? Picture of rest. It's a picture of rest. Hebrews chapter 4 gives us the reality of our promised land today. Our promised land is not a physical land, amen, but it is a place of rest. Therefore, since the promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Do you know, church, this is the only place that God tells us to fear. The only one place in the Bible God tells you to fear is here. Fear of not entering His rest. Fear of not being restful. If you want to fear, you want to keep one fear in your life for 2016? You say, I'm getting rid of all my fear. Keep one fear. The fear of not being restful. Of not entering His rest. Amen. The Bible says, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of that rest. For indeed the gospel was preached to them, referring to the same story I'm sharing today at Kadesh Barnea. The same good news was preached that God's bringing them to a land flowing with milk and honey. But they didn't listen. All right? The word preached, which they heard, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest. We who have what? Believe. Not working people, not work towards it, not earn it, but we who believe what He has done, what He has accomplished, we enter into rest. Then it says, as He has said, now He's quoting Psalms 95, verse 11. Psalm 95 says, so I swore in my wrath, God is talking, they shall not enter my rest. This is very interesting because here God calls what we just read just now, houses full of all good things that we did not fill, you know, vineyards we did not plant. Notice that all these things that we did not do, that means what? We're entering a place of rest. So this year will be a year where you will enjoy things restfully. I said restfully. And God, instead of saying they shall not enter my land, here God says, instead of saying my land, he says they will not enter, they shall not enter my rest. Contrast that with my wrath. Opposite of my wrath, it's not my joy, it's my rest. God loves it when his people rest in what his son has done. It's the greatest honor you can give God. Okay, nonetheless, back to Kadesh Barnea. They're at Kadesh Barnea, so they decide to send 12 spies, all right? But Pastor, God commanded them. We read just now. Okay, let's read. I have to settle this part. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving. Don't forget, God is giving to the children of Israel. And from each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. Now, God has described to them the land. God has told them what the land looks like, the mountains, there'll be brass, iron. And God told them there'll be vineyards, there'll be all kinds of good things about the land. God told them, but they are not willing to accept what God said. So God says, send, God told Moses. No doubt, here God, it sounds like God is commanding Moses to send spies out to the land. I have to settle this part first and teach you about an aspect of God, okay? But at the end of Moses' life, as Moses was recounting in the book of Deuteronomy, he was recounting the journeys and all that. And he said this to the people in Deuteronomy 1. He told them, look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Now he's recounting. This is coming to the 40th year already. Okay, they have wandered. He's recounting. Look, the Lord your God, I told you this. He was telling them. Remember, I told you this. The Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you, do not fear or be discouraged. And every one of you came near to me. Every one of you came near to me. We read just now, God commanded them to send the spies. Here, every one of the leaders came to him. They came to him and they said, the people of Israel, every one of them, not just the leaders, every one of them came to Moses and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us. What do you want men for when God has spoken? God told you what the land looks like. What can mortal man whose eyes are frail, some of you can't even see me from there, so you look at the screen. What can mortal man, why do we need spies? When God has spoken, yet there's this propensity of the human flesh. What expert told you then? What need we for human eyes, human estimate, human advice, when God said, this is how the land is going to be like? So because they came, because they asked, God said to Moses, send men. So you understand now, it's the same thing as when they asked for the law in Exodus 19. It wasn't God's design. God wanted to bring them out by grace and let them enter the land by grace. But they said to God, Kol Asher Dibir Adonai Na'aseh in Hebrew. Even before God told them what the Ten Commandments were, whatever you can command us, bring it on. We can do it. It was a very emphatic statement. Same thing as the appointment of a king. God never meant for Israel to have a king. God said, I am your king. But they want to be like the nations around them. No, we want to be like the nations around us. They have kings. We want a king. And God told Samuel the prophet, give them a king. God commanded Samuel to give them a king. All these commands are commands not of his original intent. It was permissive because of their moral condition. Are you with me so far? So that's the reason for the 10 spies, the 12 spies, excuse me. So the 12 spies explored the land. They went down from the south. They went up. By the way, they went all the way to the Galilee area, Hamath. The Bible mentioned the name Hamath, all the way to the Galilee area. And then they came back 40 days of spying out the land. Each tribe sent their leader. So we have Joshua, all right, and Caleb. Caleb from the tribe of Judah, Joshua, Ephraim. And they came back, and the Bible says, they carried this. Then they came to the valley of Eshkol. Eshkol means cluster. Say cluster. And there they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. Now imagine how heavy the grapes must be, that they carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. I'm telling you, I bought grapes in my life. I'm still buying grapes. My son loved grapes. Amen. The other day, we gave him acai juice and he thought it was grapes. Fine. I'm not going to enlighten him on what it is. All right. But he likes grapes. So we're always buying grapes. But I've never seen grapes that big. That one cluster, you got to have, you know, Wendy and I have a pole to carry to our car park. This is really fruitfulness. Now, grapes represent joy. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The aspect of the Holy Spirit is the picture of the Holy Spirit, but it's the joyful aspect. Just like oil is the Holy Spirit, but it is the revelation aspect. Oil for light, the Bible says, is the revelation aspect. So, grapes, what is God saying? Listen, the joys I have for you in my land, the joys that I have for you far outstrips the joys and pleasures of Egypt. It far outstrips the joys you find out there. Are you listening, people? And yet people think, you know, this church is a boring place, doing the things of God is boring and all that. They do not know the greater grapes. It far surpasses the grapes of Egypt. By the way, during that time, you notice that there are not many pictographs. There are, but there are not many pictographs in Egypt of grapes. And those few that had grapes, their grapes are so puny. Why? Grapes don't grow well in Egypt. But in Canaan, they had a cluster of grapes. They call the place Eshkol because of the cluster. They had to carry it between two guys. There was so much. God is saying to you, my land has so much pleasure, so much joy that far surpasses that of the world. Forget the world, amen. I got a poetry for the world. Oh, worldly pomp and glory. Your charms are spread in vain. I've heard a sweeter story. I found a truer gain. The world will never know and taste what you know and taste down here. Don't back away and think you're going to something greater. You're going down. And that's why they always say going down to Egypt. He went down to Egypt. Abraham went down. But Canaan, let us go up. It's a higher place. 2016, may you and your families go up. Amen. Stop wandering and start walking deliberately with God. And all the people said, amen. They returned from spying out the land after 40 days. All right, drop down. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. For those of you who want to study more, I'm not at liberty to disclose some things that God is showing, but in your own personal study, look at the word Kadesh. It means holy. Yes, primary meaning means holy. Barnea, son of wandering. But if you look at the word Kadesh, it also means other things. It is exactly the issue of the hour that the church, the people of God are faced with right now. And they are worried they can't handle it. They're feeling overwhelmed by the world. But the answer is found in Kadesh Barnea. All right? You know what I'm saying? Doesn't matter. Some people heard it in their study. All right? So they brought back word and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. It's not a land having milk and honey. That is good enough. But flows. You know what flows? Flows is abundant. Amen. Flows. Amen. Amen. Pastor Prince, my wife don't have clothes. She flows in clothes. You step into our bedroom, it's flowing. Clothes. Then they told him, all right, this word flows with milk and honey. Then look what happened. Verse 28. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. There's always a nevertheless. So first, they say that, yes, it's a good land. It is a good land. Look at the fruit. We brought back the fruit. Nevertheless, you know, men will always sit in judgment of what God said. Yes, but, yes, but, yes, but. That's why God separates the goats from the sheep. Goats love to butt. Yes, but. Yes, but. You know, when God said it, that settles it. There's no but. Amen. He's omniscient, you're not. He's omnipotent, you're not. He's omnipresent, you're not. When God said it, it settles it. Amen. Whether you believe it or not, it settles it. But, yes, but. The Bible is, I believe, in the verbal inspiration of the Holy Scripture that God breathed His words here. Yes, but too late. Amen. You know, people lose their time and lose days and years of their life trying to research for things that God really said is there. Why don't we take the research there and proceed from there and save and redeem the years? Amen. So here they said, we saw the descendant, the cities are fortified and very large. We saw the descendants of Anak there. Now, faith does not deny difficulties. Amen. Neither Joshua nor Caleb later on, you see, none of them denied the difficulties. They never said, there are no. What are you saying? There's no giant, like a guy with a big tumor on his face. No, nothing. This is nothing. No, that's not faith. People think that's faith. No, that's not faith. Faith is not reckless. It is not indifferent. Faith looks straight at the difficulties, but looks through it to God, to Jehovah. Amen. Faith looks at God. These people were looking at the cities, large cities. They were looking at the descendants of Anak. By the way, Anak here, Anak are pronounced in Hebrew, Anak. They're actually descendants of the giants, Nephilim. Now there's a show that I just happened to catch only one documentary where they are on Nat Geo or something like that. They're in search of giants. They found skeletons that big and a skull that big as Deacon Matthew's, bigger than his skull. His skull is really quite big. All right. So they are saying these are proven, you know. I mean, you can touch it, you can feel it. These are really bones of how was it that the giants once roamed the earth and all that. My message, Noah and the flood, get it? Listen to it. I explain it. Okay? And that also tells you how they are puzzled as to how ancient man was able to carry huge rock, you know, stones and slabs and put it like a monolith and all that all over the world. There were giants once. The Bible tells us that. Amen. They were destroyed in the flood for a reason. You can read about it. Okay, so sons of Nephilim in the Hebrew. So these are descendants of Anak. So they saw the nevertheless there. Nevertheless, the people are strong. So the fruit is good. This is the fruit. Look at the grapes. It's great. Nevertheless, but are you listening, people? So the cities are great, but our God is greater. The walls are high. Our God is higher. The giants are strong, but God is stronger. And that's what you're faced with in 2016. There's a lot of difficulties coming, not only personally to you, but in the world today. And what the devil wants you to see is nevertheless, don't Pastor Prince say all this good blessing, nevertheless, all right? And we are the normal people. He wants you to think that the devil wants you. He has years and years of dexterity and skillfulness and on human nature. He knows that when you are fixed on the unseen, he loses. But when you are fixed on that which is visible, it will bind you. The devil deals with that which is visible and human. God deals with that which is invisible and spiritual. We have a tendency, we want to see things, we want to touch things, we want to worship, you know, we want an image of Jesus here with his hand outstretched and the word 2016, you know, we want to touch, we want to feel it, you know, our flesh craves for that which is visible. But God says, invisible is eternal. Visible will never last. It will crumble in the dust. But human nature wants a religion that's visible. Are you listening? When Israel came out at the foot of Mount Sinai, right after they said they'll keep God's law, the next thing is the golden calf. And they said, Israel, this calf brought you out of Egypt. What a terrible thing to say. Later on, when they rebelled against what Joshua and Caleb said about going to the land, they said, let us make a captain and bring us back to. So flesh always wants either a calf that they claim brought them out of Egypt, or they want a leader to bring them back into Egypt. The human flesh is never satisfied. Learn to walk in the Spirit. Don't just wander. Don't, you know, the media, one thing about the media, they are just doing their job, yes, but they choose what to for you to focus on. They won't tell you all the revivals that's happening. They won't tell you all the good things that's happening. And all that the church is contributing, they won't tell you. One church goes wrong, that's the focus. And that becomes your focus. What the devil wants is that he wants you to focus on what he wants you to focus. Amen. They saw the giants. They saw the big walls, the lofty walls. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, saw Jehovah. They looked at God. They saw the Lord. And it's interesting what they say. Now, they're not finished complaining yet. We saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites. So south, we looked down, we saw giants. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. In the mountains, we saw the Hittites. By the way, just to let you know, the word Hittites comes from the word Heth, which is the word for fear. Fear. Hittites. All right? So this all this represents spiritual enemies. The Jebusites, Jebus, is a trodding down, a spirit of fear, a spirit of crushing you, treading you down, is what the devil is releasing in 2016. But listen, I'm not interested about the devil. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. I'm telling you, let's have a spirit of Joshua and Caleb. Amen? And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. So up there in the mountain, they are there. Looking down the south, they are there. By the sea, they are there. They are everywhere! That always happens. Not one time did they ever mention God. They compared them with themselves. Never compared them with God. Let's go on. They're not finished yet. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession. Let us go up at once and take possession." And y'all should be like, "Yeah! God has spoken. Wait for what? Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the man who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people. If you look at the lofty walls, you look at the strong giants, you look at the great cities, you'll say, we're not able. But if you look to Jehovah, you look to God, with whom nothing is impossible, you will say, come on, man, let's go up at once. We are well able to overcome it." Focus this year is crucial. It will determine, I'm not joking, it will determine between life and death. It will determine between your blessings, enjoying it. Listen, friend, you will never lose your salvation, but you can lose the enjoyment of your salvation. You cannot lose the promises. A promise made is a promise from God. God keeps his promise. But you can lose enjoying that promise. But you know what God will do? You don't enjoy it? God says, next generation. God loves you, and I want you all to enjoy. Pastor Prince loves you. Love sent me here today to tell you, love is giving you a wonderful year. But the devil wants you to be focused on what he's doing, how bad the world is, how bad everything is. Are you listening? So what year is it, Pastor Prince? Don't worry about the year. Listen to the sermon. We are not able to go up, they said. Next verse. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. Say bad report. Of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants." Keep that in mind. They say that land that God never said that the land we read just now is a land of brooks. Right? Rivers, fountains, a land of olives and vineyards and blessings. God says that from the mountains, you can dig out brass, iron. God never even mentioned the giants. They were there. Because what is a giant compared to God? You see, faith looks at God and his resources. Unbelief looks at self and his circumstances. And that's why faith always reasons from God to the difficulties. It always starts there. It always starts with God. Unbelief reasons from the difficulties and then to God. It always starts with them, the difficulties. No wonder we don't have happy Christians. Many of them live on the dark side. Yeah. They live on the dark. I'm not talking about Star Wars here. I'm talking about real war that's going on. While those guys are smiling their way to the bank, I'm telling you, this involves your life. A greater war.